it's time to get our view from the middle, though he was most recently in our time zone for the Epic Rose Bowl, soon to be Atlanta-bound for the Georgia-Bama national title game. Check out his work online, usatoday.com, on Twitter, it's at George Schroeder. George, first and most, happy 2018 to you and yours. How are things?
Well, happy new year to you, too. Things are good. It's I like New Year's. Now, January, after all the Christmas festivities, January can be that, oh, wait, it's still winter moment. But so far, so good.
I want to start with the sublime because I do like to joke around a bit. I saw your Twitter feed today, and we learned about the pluses and minuses of pumping your own gas. As somebody who lived all but 2 years of their life in a non-pumping state, I actually found this interesting. So you were raised in a pumping state. What kind of cultural shock was it to move to Oregon where it's a no-no?
Well, let me just say this. We didn't know that it was a culture thing. We just thought everybody pumped their own gas. The weirdest thing is when you hop out to pump your own gas and you get yelled at. That's the weird thing.
You experienced that firsthand? I did. Yelled at for pumping gas.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, after, I'm 57, I moved to Philadelphia when I was 27, and more than once I pulled up to the gas tank and waited and waited and waited until I realized, oh, Jersey's the only place on the East Coast. All right, so that's the silly part, but I actually find that, even though this is not gas attendant related. So last night, I know this probably isn't a huge topic now, but we saw Kansas lose again at Allen Fieldhouse. Arizona State beat them. It was one of the worst home losses of the self era. You live in Big 12 country. Kansas is kind of an interesting program in that they're a blue blood, but aside from the 08 title, they seem to kind of fall on their face. What are you hearing from colleagues or what you're observing on TV about what might be happening in Lawrence?
Well, I don't think anybody's panicking just yet. I mean, they've won however many in a row it is now.
13.
But it does feel like, I knew you'd know. It does feel like the race is wide open this year, not so much because of Kansas being down, although they may be slightly down, as just how competitive the entire Big 12 appears to be. I mean, in the first 2 days of play, the first round where everybody played a game, I think the road teams went 8-1.
Yep.
So it wasn't other than the fact that nobody goes into Fog Allen Fieldhouse and wins, it wouldn't have been a surprise if you were just looking at sort of recent trends.
The incredible thing is everybody but Iowa State has 10 wins already. So that should be fun to follow for you. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. The news hit yesterday, some updates today. Rich Rodriguez fired at Arizona. We've heard about sexual harassment allegations, to date unsubstantiated. The school says it's football related. There's a $7.5 million lawsuit pending over a hostile workplace. So what do you make of the decision of them to fire him? And his program, if not heading in the wrong direction, seems to have spun its wheels the last 3 years.
Well, it did. And look, I realize that they sort of couched it very carefully. So you could sort of say this was a football decision, but pretty clearly it was about a lot of other things than football. It was about all those allegations. And while the school said they couldn't substantiate them enough to terminate him for those reasons, they also noted that the woman didn't, decided she wasn't going to cooperate with the school's investigation. And I say that not to say that that casts any doubt on what she has to allege, but to say that the school couldn't really conduct kind of an investigation that really would have determined anything. And I'm also not saying that what she alleges is true, but the stuff that's alleged in the filing that she made that's sort of a precursor to filing a lawsuit is really disturbing. And if half of it's true, then you can see why they decided to let him go.
Yeah. You know, I think we might have discussed this when Herm Edwards was hired at Arizona State. But beyond who might be in the running to be the new Wildcat coach, kind of like ASU, I had never been to Phoenix until when Oregon played Auburn. And having spent time there, it's like they're close to Texas, they're close to California, the weather is unbelievable, so much appeal. Why do you think it's like Arizona football always seems to hit a hard ceiling?
Well, I think Arizona football, you said it's close to Texas. I mean, it's close geographically to a part of Texas, you know, that El Paso portion that is, you know, if you know the map, is halfway underneath New Mexico. But it's not close to Texas as in the population centers where a bunch of those Texas recruits are.
Okay.
It is fairly close to L.A., but, you know, not as close as Phoenix. It's not really, and it's not a big, you know, if I'm a recruit, I think Tempe and Phoenix would make a lot of sense. I'm not sure I would think the same, at least on first glance, at Tucson. You might have to sell me a little bit more about, you know, the school and all the other things you do, because it's not exactly a big-time cosmopolitan place. And it's not the smallest place in the conference either. It's a little bit out of the way. You're going to have to overcome the fact that it's really hot at parts of the year. But I've always thought there's potential there to be a really, really good program. And obviously they've had scattered teams through the years that have been really, really good. They've just never been able to do it consistently.
No, that's a good point. And thanks for the geographic update, because I don't have a good visual of Texas in my mind. Central Florida, beyond...
Well, it's a big state, bottom center of the country, really. Pretty, does that ring a bell?
Yeah, that's good. Of the 50, okay. I could probably find it on a map. I want to talk about Central Florida and beyond if they deserve the shot at the playoffs or raising a championship banner, as opposed to, you know, we just talked about Arizona, how Willie Taggart left Oregon. So you got Scott Frost leads a turnaround, 0-2 2015, perfect this year, is open about the Nebraska gig, gets it, stays to finish the job. Can we just have a little appreciation of how this was handled and the taste it left you with?
Yeah, I thought Scott did a tremendous job. And really, having been trying to work on different coaching searches, and that was one of them that you knew was ongoing back in, you know, November, you know, I was told early on that he had told his agents basically he wasn't going to really talk about anything until the season was over. And that if anybody wanted to talk to him, they're just going to have to wait. There wasn't going to be any sort of surreptitious clandestine stuff. And really, that actually held until he ended up talking with Nebraska the week before the American Athletic Conference championship game. But you know, he basically turned away interest from Florida and Tennessee, and I don't know that anybody else was interested enough to, you know, or thought they had a shot enough to really go after him. But in part said, hey, look, I'm not really talking yet. And it was pretty clear, really, that probably the place he was going to go if he went anywhere was Nebraska. That he did have a connection with those the football players at Central Florida. I don't think that, say, if Oregon had come open earlier, let's say Nebraska's not open, I don't think that you turn on Oregon. I think maybe you listen to Florida differently than he did. I don't think you end up staying at UCF. But I think that idea was in the back of his mind at all times. I may stay here at UCF and not even take the Nebraska job. And I think you saw that based on how he juggled the jobs, two jobs the last month, because he wanted to finish strong at UCF. So he was out recruiting for Nebraska and crisscrossing the country, and yet he and his entire coaching staff, who all are going to Nebraska, were also trying to do their best to give UCF a good send-off in the Peach Bowl, and then they go beat Auburn.
You know, speaking of Auburn, the interesting connection there is Auburn won the national title against Oregon. 2 years later, they went 0-for the SEC. Then the next year, Gus Malzahn has them in the BCS championship game. But then you have UCF, who had 51 players who went 0-12 and 13-0. I mean, historically, how just remarkable is that?
Well, it's a tremendous turnaround. There's nothing like it. And for them to cap it with the win they capped it with, look, it's not just Auburn. That's an Auburn team that beat Georgia and beat Alabama. I don't know if you've checked, but those two teams are playing for the national title on Monday, and they whipped them both. Now, they also got whipped by Georgia in a return match. They also lost by a touchdown at Clemson. So they played three-fourths of the playoff field and played really, really well. And, you know, so UCF goes out and wins the game. And, look, bowl games are one-offs. It's hard to understand exactly what those things mean. But, you know, don't tell UCF it wasn't meaningful. They're out claiming that. They're actually now claiming a national championship, and they're only being half tongue-in-cheek about it.
Yep. We're going to get a banner and everything. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. So, you know, you were at the Rose Bowl, and considering the limited history of the national semis, it was unbelievable. But Oklahoma's offense in the overtimes with a Heisman winner at quarterback, you know, the one short pass on the first field goal, kind of low risk throws on the last possession. Rather conservative play calling when it really mattered with the season in the balance, you think?
Yeah, and I think Lincoln Riley would like to have the play calling in both those overtimes back. I mean, including that fourth and one, you know, that he took a really long time to think about before sending the field goal unit out in the first overtime. And I think if you go for it and get it, you're going to score a touchdown. And, you know, Georgia had already scored a field goal, so you win the game. But, you know, Lincoln Riley said he didn't, you know, his gut said field goal. He didn't think the risk was worth the result. And, you know, just because it wasn't, you know, it was outside the 10 somewhere. It wasn't like it was fourth and goal from the one.
Right.
And so I think there's some plays he'd like to have back, not only then, but maybe in the third quarter a little bit when they had a big lead and they let it all go as Georgia got revved up. But, you know, on the other hand, you can kind of look back at that first quarter or the first and second quarters when he was dialing up some ball plays at that point.
Yeah.
So did he get a little tight? Yeah, he might have. We might have seen a rookie head coach get a little tight there. But, you know, it's kind of hard to know without understanding all the other factors. The other piece of this, too, is I think Georgia played a lot better defense in the second half and in the two overtimes than we saw in the first half.
A couple final thoughts. Obviously, where you were, you couldn't catch the other semi in its entirety. And while I would have had Alabama as one of the four, you know, you got to see that team who opened against Florida State. And then they suffered a lot of big injuries on defense. You know, Anfernee Jennings, Rashawn Evans. So safe to say what we saw Monday was the great defense that many thought they would have all year starting in September.
Well, it was a great defensive performance. I'm not ready to say that that is who they are, because we didn't see it all year. And by the way, we didn't see it all year, including before the linebackers all got hurt. Now, that's the right time to have it, and it was the best team they played this year, this side of Auburn at least. You know, I wouldn't call them Clemson head and shoulders better than Auburn. Obviously, they're a little better than Auburn. But that's clearly, you know, one of the top two teams they played all year, and it was far and above the best defensive performance they've given all year. I think one of the things that gets a little bit lost in this is, and, you know, sometimes we try to sound a little bit of note of caution about this, is this is not this, while this was not last year's Clemson team and you thought the defense was a little bit better, you thought the offense wasn't anywhere close without Deshaun Watson. I thought we really saw that finally come to fruition or make itself revealed. And, you know, in Alabama had a lot to do with it. But Kelly Bryant wasn't ready for the moment. It's a little bit different. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Alabama does against Georgia. That's another team that's going to play the kind of offense, relatively conservative, although I thought they had a nice play-calling game, and Jake Fromm played really, really well against Oklahoma. But it's a relatively conservative offense. It's not an exceptionally dynamic quarterback. It's the kind of thing that Alabama has a lot better shot of handling, I think, than, let's say, had Oklahoma won 54-48, which obviously easily could have happened. I think you might have been in for something crazy on both sides of the ball from both teams at that point.
And we learn now that I mentioned Jennings, he's out for the title game. Odds makers say it's about a field goal. You brought up a couple of important points. You have a lean either way, or you think we might be in for a nice tight national title game?
Well, we might be in for a tight one. Is it going to be a shootout? I don't think it's going to be like the last couple. I think it's more likely to be relatively low scoring. You know, anytime you say that, it seems like they get zipping up and down the field, but I just don't see that happening. I'm going to lean a little bit Georgia, just because I think I'd like to see that twice in a row out of Alabama, so I'll just sort of be a little bit skeptical. And I was really impressed with the resilience mentally of the Georgia team that obviously had sort of the least experience in the postseason of any of those four playoff teams. And I think I think those two running backs, Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, are really, really good, and they'll be the best two players on the field, at least from an offensive standpoint.
Folks, see what he's up to, usatoday.com, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. He is Atlanta bound. George, enjoy it. Always appreciate the time, and look forward to the recap next week.
Yeah, same here. Thanks, man.
All right, take it easy.